We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to 95.7 The Game. We're alongside the Pro Bowler Lorenzo Neal, the always diligent Dan Dibley. I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. Great to have you in on an abbreviated Thursday. We're out of here at 8:45 a.m. Uncle Townie's going to take over with the Dugout Show. First pitch today, 9:37 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game as the A's look to avoid the Canadian sweep. In just a moment, we're going to give away $1,000. At 8 o'clock, we're going to give away $1,000. And at 8:30, not 8:45, 8:30, ticket window, we got tickets to give away. Now, the phone lines are packed with the discussion on CTE, football in America. Parents, coaches, administrators, and the youth. What do we do? What do we do? Based on a study by Dr. Anne McKee, which was recently published in the New York Times, that shows of 202 former football players, not just NFL players, football players, she found CTE in 87% of those brains. More alarmingly, 111 of those brains were former NFL players. 110 of those brains had CTE. 110 of 111. Lo Neal is here answering your questions, providing advice. We're having a conversation about possibly the rise of soccer in America based on what we saw at Levi's last night, yeah, combined with this study. The phones, 888-957-9570. The $1,000, text the code word PAPER to 72881. PAPER to 72881. Message and data rates apply. Your call's next, but right now, here's Dibs with your update.
Well, speaking of football, Joe, camp opens today for the San Francisco 49ers. The first season of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan unofficially begins today. The rookies and veterans all going in to Santa Clara for the first camp activity. Raiders veterans will report tomorrow as Oakland gets its full complement up in Napa. Some other news around the league. Cardale Jones traded from Buffalo to the Los Angeles Chargers for a future pick. The Jets claim Lucky Whitehead off of waivers, and the quarterback of the Ravens, Joe Flacco, could be out 3 to 6 weeks with a disc problem in his back. Some rumors about Colin Kaepernick possibly being a backup there in Baltimore. Story number two, A's get walked off in Toronto 3-2. Santiago Casilla gave up back-to-back homers to Justin Smoke and Kendrys Morales. Bob Melvin discussed.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I can't see in and out. I guess, you know, 2-2 curveball and then tries to throw 3-2 curveball and looked like he didn't have a really good feel for that. And then threw some fastballs to the next two guys and, you know, two pretty good hitters and got him in the air.
A's try to avoid a four-game sweep this morning. 9:37 first pitch, the Dugout Show. 8:45 here on 95.7 The Game. Story number three, Giants head into their off day off a series win over Pittsburgh. They won the finale 2-1. Jeff Samardzija, seven strong innings with some incredible defense. Giants at L.A. tomorrow. The update brought to you by Capital Oak Tree Mazda. It's like no other automotive website you've ever seen before. Presenting the all-new DGDG.com, it's complete happiness. I'm Dan Dibley. On your home of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors, it's 95.7 The Game.
Hell of a pitching matchup in Toronto this morning as well, Dibs. For the A's, it's going to be the lefty Sean Manaea. In his last nine decisions, seven of those have been victories. For the Blue Jays, it's Marcus Stroman. Get this. Stroman's only allowed four runs over his last 34 innings pitched. For those scoring at home, that's good for a sizzling ERA of 1.06. Your calls in just a second, 888-957-9570, CTE, football in America, the youth. That's the conversation. Lo Neal has provided a tremendous amount of insight, and he's here to answer your questions. I was there the night he spoke to his son after the movie Concussion. I thought that was a very powerful and compelling talk you had with him. He's a curious young man. He's a smart young man. You provided some great advice. I thought Andrea, who called in the last segment, made an excellent point with this question. Why is it that so many individuals who are educated on this knowledge, who know that football causes CTE, still allow their children or they themselves still go out and play? Have you ever been to a hospital and seen a doctor outside smoking? I have. Have you ever wondered why a doctor would smoke when they know the risk? Several people, educated people, myself until just 6 months ago, I smoked knowing the risk. Why do we do that? Why, if we know the risk, do we still engage in these activities?
I think a lot of it is because parents enjoy watching it. They enjoy seeing their kid go out there and compete. They know that they're in a team environment. We live vicariously through our children. You got Chubbs. He's going to probably wrestle, play some sports, t-ball, golf, whatever.
Mommy wants him to be a musician.
And even if he is a musician, you're going to go and listen. And you're going to go and watch. Because you think about watching my son and participate, you're like, wow, I remember when I used to do that. Not just that, you're like, wow, you're watching him play and you want to be able to critique. You live through it. You cheer. You jump up. You high five. Parents, they still in those, and it's a game within a game. The game on the field with your kids. And then in the stadium, there's a game because the parents are high-fiving. Maybe the kids on the opposite team, they're boys, they know one another. They're going at it. And it brings a bond, too. So they want to see their kids perform. They want to see them participate. And sometimes they think it won't be me. And they think maybe it won't be them. And it's you look at it, just like kids. People are more worried about football, but kids probably, there's more accidents in a car, probably more dangerous for a kid to drive than play football. So it's still, people look at it as entertainment. No matter, they don't necessarily look at the risk. They think that their kid, it won't happen to them, and they'll get their bell rung. But it's still changing. Numbers show you, Joe, even though she called in, she's absolutely right. Numbers showing you that Pop Warner and Pee Wee's down 10%. So there is some alarm, and it is decreasing, though.
The players need to use these studies as leverage, as you mentioned, for guaranteed contracts the next time around.
Sure.
They really do. Because the NFL, think about this. With all this information, outside of the NFL, how many people are denying the link between football and CTE? Nobody. The only people denying it are the ones who stand to lose something. Much like what? Big tobacco back in the day. The only people saying cigarettes didn't cause cancer, cigarettes didn't cause health issues, were the manufacturers of cigarettes. Right. That's it. The rest of the world said there's a problem. They said no. Do you know the NFL hired PR reps and lawyers who worked for Big Tobacco to work for them now? They know what it's like having to be the one voice that stands out trying to put out bad information. So they went ahead and hired these individuals. I believe John Mara from the New York Giants even admitted it. He was one of the ones who recommended they go out and hire Big Tobacco lawyers to work on these cases, these CTE cases, Dibs.
Makes perfect sense when you're trying to deny the truth and you're trying to have your product continue to last. And as we've seen with cigarettes, they haven't gone away. Certainly less people smoke now and fewer children smoke than ever before, but it's not like it went away. And I think football needs to take the same approach as it pertains to the CTE problem that they have that's not going away. Football is going to be dangerous no matter what rule you change, no matter how much you do heads-up tackling, no matter how many thousands of flag football leagues you put in place, even if you ban high school football and say you can't play football till you're 18 years of the tackle variety, CTE is still going to exist. So take all the measurements you want, and I hope that they do continue to teach people to tackle right and continue to try to make it more safe. But as long as you're playing this sport, CTE is going to be a threat.
The phone lines are juiced. 888-957-9570. We will begin with Layla in San Rafael. Layla, thank you for calling the program. The floor is yours.
Hi, guys. I'm a physical therapist by profession and a former rugby player. My husband was a former high school football player, and we have three kids. All of them express excitement to wanting to go into some sort of sport. And just professionally, you know, I get a lot of high school, mainly JV team players who come in with neck problems, trap problems, because, you know, it's really rough for them during practice and during games. And going back to earlier, I think one of you guys had mentioned that, you know, a lot of kids, you know, first of all, brain development, you know, still developing. Also muscles, you know, chops and you know, your back muscles, arm muscles, all of that, you know, you're still developing into your teenage years, into your 20s. And, you know, it's just sad that now that I see it with my patients, kids complaining of, you know, a pulled trap or, you know, a muscle that's not getting better with even more exercise, that, you know, I look at my kids and I'm like, man, you guys are young. I don't even want to make that decision for you. I want you to make it. But, you know, it's like you kind of just see two different ends of the spectrum and you're just like, man, you know, you're kind of stuck in that really tough situation to see, oh, well, I see it every day at work. Do I want to see it happen to my own child?
Layla, if you don't mind me asking, your husband and yourself, what have you decided if your three children want to play football? Have you decided which direction you're going to go with that?
We have one son. He's the one who really wants to play football. He's only 10. So, you know, I feel like maybe I never wanted to play rugby when I was really young. It wasn't until I got into middle school that I really started to, you know, want to channel a lot of tension and aggression into a sport. And I myself had a few injuries. I had a dislocated rib. I messed up my knee playing. And my husband, thank God, he never had any injuries. But, you know, we worry. Like, you know, you're a parent on one hand, and then one of us also works, you know, with other different type of population, group populations, that even adults who I have come in for, you know, just playing football for fun, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I pulled my muscle playing and my shoulder muscle playing, and, you know, they aren't able to, you know, rehabilitate themselves to the fullest. So when I see my son and my daughters, even, who one of them is in, she's in, like for teenagers, rugby for teenagers, and she it's not as aggressive, but I can tell, like, if she got injured a few weeks ago, and she, you know, it's not even that bad of an injury, but, you know, I feel like if they want to come up to the time when they want to really decide if they want to play or not, I feel it's just a family discussion we're going to all have to sit down and have.
Appreciate the phone call, Layla. Thank you very much for the insight. We really appreciate that. Cockroach in Oakland, we're going to keep it moving. 888-957-9570. The Cockroach in Oakland, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up? What's going on? I just wanted to talk to the big three this morning on a little bit of a sensitive note. First of all, I got to give a shout-out to that Greek goddess, Anna Kakarakis. I know she's out of there, but she needs a name just in case she hasn't decided on. She can always defer to Cockroach or the Tarzan.
We'll get that right over to her. I'm sure her and her husband will be thrilled to hear of your suggestion.
Well, I had to lay that on there one time, but on the
all good.
Anyway, as I digest there, Coach, I've been an X-ray technician for 6 years now for a wonderful job for Kaiser Permanente. God, I love my hospital. But some of the most awful injuries I've ever seen is all come from Pop Warner football. And I'm not just targeting that particular sport, but the knee injuries and the elbow injuries that some of these kids sustain is a little bit more than, you know, someone would like to see, and especially the concussions. But the scariest part is that right out of the hospital, literally in the bed or in the wheelchair or on their way in or out, they're ready to play football with the cast, with the injury just happening. 5 minutes later, they're like, well, next time I get on the field, this is the kind of hit I'm going to make. So I figure maybe instead of figuring out an outside solution, maybe the NFL should take seeing lead and be the first ones out ahead in front of this. Maybe they should be a little bit more proactive, because I think a lot of the fans and the kids will follow the NFL to the end of time. So maybe they should give them a different direction to go in, or either, you know, even if they had to pad flag football or a lighter version of what's going on in order for the kids to develop on in there, might be a good solution. And then maybe everybody else would maybe kind of lighten the load a little bit, instead of either killing off football itself or facing one of the biggest class actions on planet Earth. Because if everyone turns against them and they start to sue or start to pursue damages toward the NFL, that would be the biggest class action anyone's ever heard of, and then we have no more NFL. So maybe they should take a different look at what's going on here before they start getting eaten up from the inside out.
Some interesting points there, Cockroach. Thank you, as always, for calling.
I think, Joe, he's got a good point, and this is what I would do. If I'm out there, the one thing that I would do, I would take the helmets away till they get in eighth grade.
Put them just flag football?
No, you could still have shoulder pads. You could still have thigh pads and stuff.
Everything but the helmet.
Everything but the helmet. Take it away. Let them know how to tackle. If you know, if you want to do have the kind of the deal with they have in rugby, kind of a face guard or whatever, because you're gonna. But at least you're gonna not gonna put your head in there. You're going to teach how to tackle better, and you know, or just go the shells. The shells, they're not shoulder pads. You see how people practice, and they're called shells. They're really soft, but they protect your shoulders. Don't hurt as much. It's not plastic. So I would take the helmets away and teach more fundamentals. Do those things. You can do that stuff. Do flag. Show guys how to work out the right way. Start not necessarily introducing the weights because you don't want to mess up a kid, but do body stuff that you can do body, air squats, push-ups, stretching, do different things that you can do just with your own body weight.
Well, that comes down to us, the parents, yes, the coaches, the teachers. We're the ones that have to teach the youth that, and we have to properly be educated on those manners. You know that, but we don't. Dibs, do you know what he's talking about?
I do, because I was a PE teacher before I got into radio, and I've coached for 25 years.
How did I not see that coming?
Coach, when you're as old as I am and you would love to make fun of the fact that I'm the senior statesman here, you've done a number of things.
Joe, of course I used to be an ice fisherman. Yeah. I lived in Manitoba.
He's the most interesting
Manitoba,
man around.
1984, Joe. Well, I don't know what you did with your summers, but I digest, Coach, as Cockroach said.
Cockroach was on fire.
I understand what Lo is saying, and he's right about fitness and developing your neck and your head, and I totally agree with you about the helmet. I would love to see, like, the old leather helmet days. And I wonder how many
Newt Rockne.
You didn't see a lot of head-on-head collisions, you know, defenders throwing themselves like a missile when you got a leather helmet. But the point is, the brain experts, and you said it yourself, Lo, if your brain doesn't develop fully until you're 25 anyway, you're still going to be susceptible even when you get to college and you have a helmet on.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. You know, hell.
Take the helmet away, you're taking away the weapon. The youth do what? What do we do as kids? We when we play basketball. In the yard by ourselves, right?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, Jordan, fadeaway, Kobe.
Right?
We try to mimic our idols.
No question.
What are we mimicking from the NFL? The Ed Reed kill shot, the Troy Polamalu kill shot, the Sean Taylor kill shot the middle. Lower the helmet, put it right under the guy's chin, completely upend him. Woo, did you see that hit? That's on Jacked Up Monday nights right before the Monday night game.
I made
it's a
it
dangerous
on that.
Segment.
Yeah.
You got jacked up.
I got jacked up.
That's a clean hit. God, I love that hit. Do we have the audio from when Lo got laid out by that dude that one time?
Is this what you want to do right now?
You brought it up, Coach.
It's not for you to go ahead and jump on it, though, Joe.
Let's go ahead and find that audio. We got to go ahead and
let's
give
not
the people
continue.
What they want.
Sorry,
the text line, there's like, we've already gotten 1,000 on the text line that say they want to hear the audio of that time you got laid out. I'm sorry.
Don't
it's for
see
the people.
It on,
it's for the people, Lo.
Yeah, you might not see it on your computer. I got it on my computer. Trust me, there's thousands of them. Millions
thousands.
Even. All of India, millions of people.
Dibs, what's wrong with you?
You got to give the people what they want, Joe. I agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more, Joe.
So this leads into the next part of this conversation. Is this CTE, the studies, parents becoming educated as to what football can do to their children, is this going to lead more people into soccer? And as a result, is this going to drive soccer into mainstream American sports culture? Last night, Levi's Stadium, United States 2, Jamaica 1. The Americans are the champions. They won the Gold Cup. Big event. Is soccer in 20 years going to be mainstream? I don't think it is right now. And you can weigh in on the website, 957thegame.com. That's our Take Your Pick poll question, brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. We'd also love to hear from you on Twitter, at 957thegame. 20 years from now, will soccer be a mainstream sport in America? Dibs.
I think it will be. And by mainstream, I think you're saying basically, would it be part of the, quote, big four that we have now, although you could argue
we'll follow it like we follow football, hoops, and baseball.
Right, because hockey's not even really in that same pantheon.
Bit of a fringe.
I don't think it's a true big four anymore. I think you're right. It's truly a big three. Would soccer be on par with those other sports? And I think in 20 years, you're going to see it being as mainstream as those other sports. Last night, you had 80,000 fans watching Barcelona take on Manchester United in Maryland. You had 93,000 fans in L.A., watching an exhibition between Man City and Real Madrid. Miami had a sellout crowd. Levi's, you had a sellout crowd. People in America are changing toward soccer. It's a shorter game than baseball, for one. It's pretty much a guaranteed 2 hours in and out. And it's a lot more, I think, lining up with the diversity of our nation. As our nation becomes more diverse over the course of time, soccer becomes more popular as well. More kids are playing it. So I think, yes, Joe, soccer becomes mainstream in the next 20.
It's not just 90 minutes. That clock doesn't stop. It's a legit 90 minutes. Basketball, you can say, well, it's a 48-minute game. Well, no, it's not, with all the stoppages and halftime and timeouts. That is a legit 90. You know when it starts, based on how long halftime is, you know exactly when it's going to end, give or take 2 to 3 minutes. That's the beauty of soccer in this day and age. But there are three problems the sport is going to face when trying to crack into the mainstream. Number one, one of the fundamental principles of business is give the people what they want. Give the people what they want. People want action. They want high scoring, right? Mm-hmm. Remember in 2011, Bama and LSU, two best teams in the country, they met and went overtime in Tuscaloosa. LSU beat them 9-6. Phenomenal football game. They had the rematch for the national title later that year. A lot of people didn't like that. 9-6, they complained. Not enough action. But when Clemson beats Alabama 35-31 with a touchdown on the final play of the game, people go nuts. 66 points. Same thing with the Super Bowl. New England 34, Atlanta 28. Quarterbacks sell jerseys because they deliver points. The NBA, Steph Curry, the three-pointer. That's what people want. High scoring. Action. Remember when the Spurs and the Knicks went five games in 1999? They averaged a grand total of 164 points per game. The Dubs and the Cavs went five games this past June. They averaged 236 points per game. The NBA is better now. People want scoring and they want action. And that's one thing soccer doesn't necessarily deliver. The game can end 0-0. And true soccer fans can appreciate that. But a lot of the people you're going to try to swing over to make the sport mainstream aren't going to be able to buy into that. Problem number two, it lacks what I call the Monday Night Raw effect. When I used to watch Monday Night Raw when I was big into wrestling, and I'll admit I was, as a kid, as a teenager, and in college, that was back when it was peak Rock, peak Stone Cold Steve Austin, peak Triple H, peak Vince McMahon, right? All that stuff. It was awesome. I used to watch the first and last 15 minutes of Monday Night Raw every Monday because that's when all the drama kicked in. You might just get 15 minutes of The Rock talking. You would end with no wrestling. Right. Stone Cold would drive a beer truck down to the ring and spray everyone in the ring with it. There's no wrestling, but the drama
right,
is what people love. Kyrie versus LeBron. Kevin Durant coming to Golden State last summer. Deflategate. The NFL draft. Soccer lacks that. It doesn't have the drama. People don't see the infighting, the rivalries. They don't get it. You
Conor McGregor,
need to deliver the sizzle.
Conor McGregor, Floyd. People watching a tour, for God's sake.
People are more interested in the press conferences than they will be for the fight. It's all about the sizzle. That's another thing soccer's lacking. So, number one, it's not high scoring. That's what we want in America. Number two, it lacks the sizzle at the moment. We need drama. We've shown it. And number three, and I know this is going to offend some people, but the sport itself goes against everything that's American. Everything that's American. And what I mean by that is one thing that unifies us is the fact that we as Americans think we are the greatest country on the planet. Whether you want to argue that is not the point here. We believe we live in the greatest country in the world. Hell, our president ran on that slogan, make America great again. We believe we're the best. Michael Phelps, Hollywood, the NFL, In-N-Out Burger. We do it better than anybody else.
Yeah.
Except for soccer. We didn't create soccer, and we're not the best at it. Routinely, it's considered success for America to just get out of the group stage at the World Cup. That's not American. What's American is Michael Phelps winning 50 gold medals. What's American is Hollywood, Christopher Nolan's movies, Steven Spielberg's movies, Star Wars, the NFL, Tom Brady. That's American. Domination. You know who we follow in the Olympics? Kerry Walsh Jennings in volleyball, Michael Phelps in swimming. You know who we don't follow? The bobsled and the biathlon, because America doesn't dominate. That's one of the things that's going to hurt in this country. We didn't invent the sport. We don't own the sport. And as a result, I think people are a little put off because we're used to being number one in just about everything that we truly get behind. That's just my personal opinion. Dibs, as the soccer aficionado in the house, feel free to tear any of that apart.
I will refute it point by point if I can. Number one, the idea of action. When you become a more sophisticated soccer watcher and a soccer fan, there's action constantly, whether it's a well-executed 1-2, a give-and-go pass situation, a great slide tackle, a good save. You learn the tactics. So I think the action argument is one that can be learned as you become more sophisticated. As far as the sizzle and the drama goes, that again, from watching soccer, you begin to understand when the drama occurs and what situations are going to be more drama-filled. I think your point about the high scoring is going to be the toughest one to crack, because you might have a great game that's nil-nil, or you might have a team score early and then just play defense the whole rest of the way, and so there won't be as much action. Point three goes against American values and what we represent as, you know, wanting to be the best at something.
Who we are.
We are gradually getting better at soccer, and we're becoming a nation that is at least a factor. It used to be America wouldn't be able to even qualify for the World Cup. If we qualified, it'd be a miracle. Then it was, well, the Americans, if they could just get out of the group, it'd be a big deal, and we've done that. And then it was, now can they actually win a game once they've gotten out of group? And now they've done that. So we've taken progressive steps to be better. My final point on that would be to refer you to the women's soccer TV ratings, mm-hmm. which do very well.
Yes,
and
sir.
And to your point, the fact that the American women do very well, people will watch the American women at a large rate because they are in the World Cup final, etc. So as the men continue to get better, I think you're going to see that reason go away.
Is question for you, Dibs. You think women's soccer is watched more because of women are playing it more in America and we're better? Is it men watching it?
Two reasons. They dominate, and there's sex appeal. Let's be honest. There are some attractive female soccer players, which will lead to some yes. viewership. That is a factor.
No, I could take off the top five most Googled players are probably the five most attractive players on the squad.
Alex Morgan.
Yeah, I mean, we can go to Sydney LaRue. I can believe me, my depth chart goes far too deep on this.
Oh,
I think the one point you made, Lo, is accurate, that a lot of girls and women play soccer in
right.
the States,
and
so a lot of girls and women will watch that as well.
Before we bring in Mike Golic, I'm going to leave you with something as American as apple pie. Take a listen.
First down. Neal running straight ahead. Holy cow. Marcus Andrews.
That never happens to Lorenzo Neal.
And he's still down, I believe.
That was a shot. Wow.
Lo Neal knocked out.
Kelsey got knocked out.
You got knocked up. Out.
Oh,
Mike Golic next, and more
funny.
Of your phone calls at 7:45. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, a little bonus we're going to bring to the program today. Apparently, I've just been informed we have two pair of tickets to the upcoming Bay Bridge series between the A's and the Giants. Possible World Series preview. Technically, that is accurate. It is still a possibility.
It is.
From what I understand.
We're reliving 89, Joe.
Mathematically, they're still in it.
We had the calculators out this morning. It took a few hours. But yes, mathematically, it still could happen. We've got two pair to give away. So we're going to give away a pair at 7:45. Then we're going to give away a pair at 8:15. In addition to that, we're giving out $1,000 at 8 a.m. And then we've got tickets to the Ellie Mae Classic at 8:30. 8:30, not 8:45, because the Dugout Show kicks off today at 8:45 with Uncle Townie as we get set for a first pitch 9:37 right here on 95.7 The Game. Mike Golic, 8-year NFL veteran, co-host of Mike and Mike on ESPN Radio, a Radio Hall of Famer, and you can follow him on Twitter at ESPN Golic. He's joining Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Mike. Thanks for your time. How are you?
No problem. How are we doing?
Doing real well. Doing real well. The last hour, we had a conversation that really took off, and we took a lot of phone calls on it as well, because Lorenzo Neal has been willing to talk to parents about the issue, to advise them. And that's the study in the New York Times about CTE in brains. 110 brains out of 111 former NFL players tested positive for CTE. You have children who played football. When you're asked by parents about CTE, football, the youth, what do you say?
Well, I mean, that's a lot. My wife has been involved with the NFL and USA Football. She's on the board for USA Football and been heavily involved as that mom that goes around the country and talks to other moms about youth football and the things they're doing to help the game. You know, from less tackle hitting time during the year during practices, to heads up football, to making sure coaches are qualified. So there's a lot to talk about. As far as that study, the one thing I told people yesterday, we talked about it, is you know, Ann McKee, who heads up this at Boston University, the study about it, she doesn't write the headline. So the headline says 110 out of 111 NFL brains test positive for CTE. I mean, and when people send it to me, look at this, Golic, I said, read the article. That's what I tell people, read the article. In the article, it says it's a biased sampling because these are players whose families thought their guys had something wrong with them. It wasn't a random sampling. These are people that they thought they had issues. There are still most of the people I played with and know that don't have any issues. But now we're finding out more and more. So to think there isn't some, you know, something something that can happen from repeated head trauma. We all understand that and believe there can be something, but let's find out more. And every time I say that on air, we need to learn more. People crush me for it, and I'm like, wait a minute, I just read this article, and Anne McKee said we need more research. I read another article that actually refuted some of her stuff, but these neurologists are saying we need more study. How much do steroids come into play, opioids come into play, alcohol come into play, genetics come into play, family history come into play? The people I feel bad for right now, guys, are the parents of Little League players. They're like, what do we listen to? What do we believe? What do we do? You know, what article do we read that we put our faith in? So what I tell people, quite honestly, I said, in all honesty, I said, we're finding out more and more, and we'll continue to. But to me, it's the best time to have your kids play, because there's the most focus on football and youth football right now because of the head trauma. So now we're getting better equipment. We're getting coaches that are qualified, more qualified. We're doing away with the Neanderthal bull in the rings and drills that show how tough you are at 10 years old. We're learning the proper fundamentals of football to keep our head up at tackling. We're hitting less during practice. So I think, quite honestly, it's the best time to have your kid get in and play. And even that said, if I say all that and parents say, you know what, I don't want to play, I said, that's fine. I say to parents, just make your decision based on education, not on fear.
Yeah, Mike, I couldn't agree with you more. I have a son. He's at Purdue, and we watched the movie Concussion together and came out and said, Dad, are you okay? And I said, yes, son. I said, but, you know, are you going to be okay? I said, it's not about me. It's about you. You understand what could happen. And a lot of times it doesn't happen to a lot of these young men. But, you know, I just want parents to know that, hey, parents have to be an advocate for their kids, because kids are going to make decisions sometimes is not in their best interest. And also soccer has a huge rise. Yeah. You know, Mike, girls soccer, because I think a lot of it, you can chime in this as well. I think a lot of it has to do with guys and parents aren't teaching their kids how to work their trap in their neck to strengthen muscles that will keep your head in more of a base, you know, for you won't have that jarring. You see soccer concussions for girls is through the roof. So it's not just football.
They have said that they're, because, again, of the emphasis being on this, there's so many ways that you can help, to, like you said, strengthening the neck. I know in some soccer leagues, they've banned heading the ball until you're at least 10 years old to get that out of the game early on. So a lot of sports are taking precautions for this. You're never going to make sports safe, but you can try and make it safer, you know, by proper nutrition, proper exercise, proper technique. So instead of saying, oh, my God, let's have the fear of God and never play football, never play soccer, never play hockey, never play lacrosse, and everybody just sits around and plays a video game and we have an even more obese nation, you know, is we say, okay, we see some issues here. Let's see what we can do to help lessen the effect of that. What can we do? And let's work that way instead of just saying, oh, my God, we need to get rid of all this. To me, I just don't see that as the answer.
Mike Golick joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Transitioning to actual on-field football topics. A lot of excitement out here about the Oakland Raiders, Mike. Do you think that this team is ready with Marshawn Lynch in place to take that next step and maybe get to the conference championship?
Well, I mean, I don't even have to say Marshawn Lynch. I think they were in place before Marshawn Lynch. I mean, you take care of Derek Carr. You know, you've got Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper, that offensive line. The offensive line has become the sexy talk in the NFL, and no one's more happier than the fat offensive lineman, you know, because the people are talking to them in that kind of way now. And I believe Oakland and Dallas really have those two of the top lines, Tennessee in there as well. So we were just talking about it this morning. I mean, going into the season, New England is such a heavy favorite in all of their games and to represent the AFC. And we were talking about who's the biggest threat. And I think it's the Raiders. I think it's the Raiders and or the Steelers as the top two. The Raiders are set, and you have to look at the situation. You know, you just took care of Derek Carr, but you don't have to take care of Khalil Mack this year just yet. Amari Cooper yet. Other big money guys, you've certainly paid some other big money to offensive linemen, but you look at the situation is you try and hold together that team as long as you can, like you did when you struck gold in Seattle with Russell Wilson being a third-round quarterback. You didn't have to pay him for a while, because a lot of people look at Joe Flacco and with the Ravens when he cashed in and got his big money that next year, and since, they haven't done as well. So Oakland is still in that situation where they can keep a lot of those players and work through and maneuver with the cap to keep the players, but I love the talent on that team. So to me, that's the team that could challenge New England, and looking way too far ahead at this point. We haven't even had a preseason game. An actual key would be to have home field in the playoffs, which will be difficult because Oakland plays in a much more difficult division than the Patriots do.
Mike, you mentioned Joe Flacco and the Ravens. It turns out he's dealing with a back issue. Now, it's not considered to be too serious. Possibly he's out 3 to 6 weeks. But if this turns out to be worse than originally diagnosed, John Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, the Colin Kaepernick connection, could you see John Harbaugh bringing Colin Kaepernick in?
Oh, I absolutely could. And we got one other connection, Greg Roman. Greg Roman was the old coordinator in San Francisco. Kaepernick's record was 25-14 when Roman was his coordinator. And when he wasn't, I think he was like 3-16 or some horrible numbers when it was other people. So that's another connection. So, yeah, right now Ryan Mallett is the backup quarterback. Do we think Colin Kaepernick? I know Kaepernick's issues are more from the pocket. Flacco's a pocket thrower, Mallett's a pocket thrower. That's kind of how their offense runs. So that would certainly be something that Kaepernick has to get better at, is the pocket passing. But I think at this point, since Colin Kaepernick has chosen not to really talk about anything and he hasn't gotten a workout anywhere, I think if the opportunity arises, he should jump on that. He needs football people to see him play football again. And I think that could be a good opportunity in Baltimore.
Mike, if you have some time before we let you go, tell us about the work you're doing with Omax 3.
Well, Omax, it's, you know, the fish oil pills. Sometimes you're just like, oh, my God, you know, fish oil pills, how awful they taste and all that. But that was the one thing, because I believe in the fish oil, in the omega-3s, and Omax 3 has been fantastic for me, my wife. There are even some for the pets. I have three dogs, one's a 13-year-old lab. They make them for pets as well.
No way. No chance.
I kid you not.
You've gone too far this time, Golic.
I'm telling you, my wife and I take them every day. And my dog takes it every day, but no fish oil smell, nothing like that, or taste at all. I mean, I absolutely believe in this a lot. You know, as any person, and then a football player, you know, as you would know, you have joint issues. So this so helps that out. It makes me feel so much. I am in the best shape of my life. I'm, you know, working out good, eating well, but there's no doubt that the Omax 3 has gone a long way to help me get where I am right now. So I couldn't recommend it more. Easy to take, no fishy taste, and it really, really helps.
8-year NFL vet and co-host of Mike and Mike on ESPN Radio. Follow him on Twitter at ESPN Golic. It's Mike Golic with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Thank you for your time, Mike. Terrific interview. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Sounds good. You guys take it easy. See you, Lowe.
Let's give away some A's Giants Bay Bridge Series tickets next, plus more of your phone calls on the CTE issue. Lowe Neal is here for you. And if you request it, we may still play the audio of him getting knocked out in that one game.
Go to hell,
Joe. I'm just throwing it out there. If the people want it, the text line's 95795. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Because we love you, and we love you, we got a lot to give away through the remainder of this program. We're going to give away some Bay Bridge Series tickets here in a moment. We're going to give away $1,000 at 8 o'clock. We're going to give away more Bay Bridge Series tickets at 8:15. And then we're going to give away Ellie Mae Classic tickets at 8:30. Then we're going to bounce because we're out of here at 8:45. Uncle Townie's taking over with the dugout show. A's looking to avoid the O Canada sweep at the hands of the Toronto Blue Jays. Today, first pitch, 9:37 a.m., right here on 95.7 The Game. At what point do you move on from Santiago Casilla? Honest question, not trying to incite any riots, just an honest question. At what point do you say to yourself, you know what, it's not working, let's try something else? At what point, Dibs?
A month ago is the answer, or 2 months ago, or the last time you had him on the Oakland Athletics when he went by the name Jairo Garcia before he changed his name and became Santiago Casilla. That's when you should have moved on from him. But short of that, how about today? How about you just stop throwing him out there and stop blowing leads for pitchers? Guy goes out there and gives you 7 solid. The bullpen holds it together, and then you throw gas on a fire that wasn't even built yet. More Casillas.
What's the definition of insanity, Joe, you always tell us?
Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. He didn't even get an out last night. Walk Donaldson, 2-run homer. Kendrys Morales follows that with a homer, and it's over. 3 batters, 2-run lead, gone. All right. The Battle of the Bay, presented by Gilead. Am I saying that correctly? Just want to make sure. Gilead Sciences is coming as the A's host the Giants Monday, July 31st and Tuesday, August 1st. On July 31st, the first 25,000 fans get a Welcome to the Beast Bay t-shirt. And on Tuesday, August 1st, the first 25,000 fans get a Hella Hustle towel. Visit athletics.com/bay for more info. That's athletics.com/bay. We'll do a little trivia. And you got to go to the text line because we're going to be taking phone calls. So the text line, 95795, PenskeAutoSales.com text line, 95795. Earlier we played the audio of the great Lorenzo Neal, the one time in 16 years.
Wow.
An opposing defender got the better out of him.
Why are you
smiling? Knocked him out.
Why are you smiling, dude?
Who was the individual who knocked out the great Lo Neal? 95795. Let's see who's got that ready. That's going to take longer than usual, I would expect.
Cody, I know you're in on this too, Cody. I know you're behind there as the producer in on this, and I'm going to get you too.
If we have the audio, let's go ahead and play it so people know what we're talking about. Here it is.
First down. Neal running straight ahead.
That never happens to Lorenzo Neal.
And he's still down, I believe.
That was a shot. Wow.
Oh, wow.
They were shot. I mean, you got to
stop
admit,
the broadcast.
Pretty much they did. You heard them? They were like, oh, my God. I mean, that's rare. Sometimes you get the bear. Sometimes the bear gets
that's
you.
That's Gus Johnson on the call, I believe. That the bear, great Gus Johnson.
That boy tore my butt up.
Who was the individual who laid the wood? 95795. Okay. To bring you back up to speed, the conversation that caught fire this morning, we're going to keep it going because a lot of people have called in on this, and Lo Neal has been generous with his time. He's willing to answer all your questions. Neurologist Dr. Ann McKee published a study in the New York Times recently. She runs the CTE Center at Boston University. 202 brains were examined. These were the brains of former football players, not NFL players, former football players. Of those 202 brains, 87% were found to have CTE. 87%. Now, of those 202 brains, 111 of them were from former NFL players. And of those 111 brains, 110 showed signs of CTE. 110 out of 111. So what are we to do? As parents, as coaches, as teachers, as counselors, as advisors, what do we do with the youth? If they want to play tackle football, do we say yes? Do we educate them? Do we try to make changes? 888-957-9570. Lo Neal, when you hear about this study, what goes through your mind? You played for 16 years.
You know what, Joe and Dibs, it makes you wonder and think, you know, when you go through life, and especially you get in your 40s and you're like, wow, how much time did I take off my life? How am I going to, you know, am I going to get dementia? What's going to happen? If something does happen, what happens to my family, my kids? You think about all these things as you get older. And then you think about how much is it attributed to football? How much is it attributed to just getting older? And you sit back and you step back from the situation, and sometimes you might get up and you're walking in the kitchen to get something. Before you get to the kitchen, you forgot. And you're like, wow. And then you call one of your friends that didn't play football. And you start having a conversation. This is what happened to me. And you ask them, like, okay. And they tell you, you know, I've done the same thing. So I think I look for validation. And I asked today, I asked Dibs, and, you know, in between breaks, and he's like, how you feeling? You know, generally concerned about me. And ask him, hey, has this ever happened to you as well? I've even asked you, and you guys both respond that it has. So you don't know how much trauma it caused. You don't know the end results. Right now, you're happy that you're upright. I'm enjoying my family. I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying watching my son play football, and do I worry about him at Purdue and the things that he's doing to his body? Absolutely. You have to, because you're concerned. It's your seed. But, you know, you pray for him, and you move on, and you continue to educate the youth. You educate people around you when they ask you questions. But That's all I'm here for now. I can no longer go back in time and change what I've done and undo anything that I've done. But all I can do now is serve, Joe. Be an individual that in life, you know, you're put on the earth to obtain things and do things. But at the end of the day, it's about now. How do I serve? How do I serve mankind? How do I serve others? How do I bring my life lessons to help others?
Are you willing to take some questions?
I am.
There are some individuals who would like to weigh in and ask you questions specifically. You're okay with that?
Please do.
I appreciate that. We'll start with Mark in Gilroy, who has a question for Lo'Neal. Mark in Gilroy, thank you for calling the program. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm a former football player, played in high school and in college. And I heard Lo talking earlier about, you know, the helmets. And one of the things I recognized playing football was every year that I progressed, we got better and better equipment. And with the better and better equipment, I could hit harder. I got stronger, got faster. With the better helmets, better, you know, shoulder pads, better thigh pads, everything, we would just play harder, right? So taking away some of the equipment, I think, would actually probably help the situation out. So my question to Lo is, do you think the NFL would ever actually get to that point where they would pull back some of the equipment? And you know, it's like, you know, someday they might be playing with motorcycle helmets, right? Well, you know, that's just gonna cause people to go faster, right? They're gonna think they're more protected, but they're not. So, do you think the NFL would actually ever pull back from the pads? And what do you think if they did that? What would you think the effect in the game would be? Would they score more points? Would the game get faster? Would it be more attractive for fans? What do you think it'd take?
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the phone call, Lorenzo Neal. Pulling back some of the gear, and I think specifically what some suggest is the helmet. The helmet is now being used as a weapon. It's doing as much damage as it is good. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you could. I think you could, and you would cause people not to use their helmet and lead with the helmet as much. I think the NFL should look at those and do some tests and even start a test trial with the smaller league maybe and get a group of players to start seeing and do a test trial. Start with the youth at 7th and 8th grade and say, hey, look, we're introducing, that's when we're going to take off. We're not going to have helmets until maybe high school, and let people work on just the fundamentals. So then when they make that transition, they're not necessarily leading with their heads. They've done the right things to work on their neck and the traps and, you know, prevent some of these things. But yeah, I people now, guys, believe it or not, players didn't want to play. The linebackers and receivers, go up to them. Some of them have, you know, if they put toilet paper, just they don't even really wear thigh pads. They just use the shell of it. They don't have the pad itself because they want to be faster. They don't even use knee pads. They just put, you know, stuff it with cotton. They do all kinds of different things, Joe. So they're not even really fully, they don't have all the equipment on anyway. They use smaller shoulder pads because they want to be faster and leaner. The helmet situation is a lot different. And I think that maybe if you started introducing, taking that away, you could see a lot of the trauma stop because guys would stop leading with their heads. So that's a good call and interesting perspective.
60 seconds from now, we're going to give away $1,000. We're going to give away Bay Bridge Series tickets, and we're going to take more of your phone calls because the line is packed. 888-957-9570. Don't go anywhere. Joe Lowe and Dibs back in a flash. 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.